Wednesday's Senate hearing on the COVID lab leak question produced the kind of television moment that will be replaying in political ads for the next 2 years. Anthony Fauci, the former director of NIAID, invoked the Fifth Amendment 111 times in a single hearing. To be precise, the Fifth Amendment protects against self-incrimination. It doesn't indicate guilt, and courts have been clear on that. But in the court of political perception, 111 invocations in a Senate hearing room is an extraordinarily unusual posture that will be used by Republicans to argue that criminal exposure is real, and by Democrats to argue that the hearing was a political show trial designed to produce exactly that footage.
Senator John Fetterman's position in all of this is genuinely fascinating, and I mean that analytically rather than salaciously. He broke with his party during the hearing, publicly saying he regrets having dismissed the lab leak theory earlier. Fetterman has been one of the more unpredictable voices in the Democratic caucus for the past year on immigration, on Israel, and now on this. Chuck Schumer was on the phone immediately, urging Fetterman to stay in the Democratic caucus. The public nature of that appeal tells you how worried Democratic leadership is about losing even one seat in a caucus with no margin.
The political arithmetic here is razor thin. If Fetterman formally caucuses with Republicans, the Senate math shifts in ways that affect every committee chairmanship, every confirmation hearing, every procedural vote. Schumer making that appeal publicly rather than through back channels suggests either that private conversations haven't worked or that Schumer wants to be on record as having tried.
On the legislative front, the SAVE Act, Trump's voter ID legislation, hit a wall this week in the person of Ron DeSantis, who said publicly that it has basically zero chance of passing the Senate. DeSantis saying this out loud is notable because it directly contradicts Trump's demand that the Senate cancel its August recess to pass the bill. You now have a prominent Republican governor who ran against Trump for president less than 2 years ago, publicly undermining a Trump legislative priority. Whether that's tactical positioning for DeSantis's own political future, an honest assessment, or both, it creates a public split that the White House can't ignore.
Trump's claim that Supreme Court rulings have cost the United States trillions without any specified calculation or methodology is part of a broader pattern of framing the judiciary as an economic antagonist. That framing matters because it sets up a narrative justification for executive resistance to court orders. If courts are costing Americans money, then defying them becomes, in that logic, an act of fiscal responsibility. Judge Esther Salas's appearance on WBUR this week, warning that DHS's practice of publicly naming judges in its Worst of the Worst series could fuel violence. She would know her son was killed at her front door by a gunman who had targeted her, is the human cost of what happens when judicial independence is treated as a partisan obstacle.
The Todd Blanche confirmation context around the Senate's resolution opposing a pardon for Ghislaine Maxwell is interesting legislative choreography. The resolution is non-binding, meaning it carries no legal force, but the unanimity of the vote, every senator, including Republicans, sends a signal that some pardon decisions would face genuine political cost. Maxwell was convicted on 5 counts of sex trafficking and related offenses in 2021. The Senate, whatever its other divisions, is apparently unified on this one.
The Trump teleprompter operator exiting government over speech betting allegations adds to a list of unusual ethics departures that, taken individually, each look like a quirky footnote, but collectively describe a culture in which proximity to the president's public moments is being monetized in ways that weren't happening in prior administrations, or at least weren't documented this way. Betting on the contents of a presidential speech before it's delivered is a form of insider information trading that the ethics frameworks weren't designed to prevent.
And the DHS raid near the Newsom rally, with court filings now showing that DHS agents themselves internally described it as a stunt, that's an unusual data point. When the agency conducting the operation is characterizing it in those terms in official documents, it suggests a disconnect between the political direction from leadership and the operational judgment of the agents being asked to execute.